2,000 years ago, on that first Easter Sunday, Jesus did what no scientist, no medical whiz, no engineer or inventor could ever achieve. He rose again from the grave. He conquered the unconquerable enemy. He secured the impossible victory.
Welcome to Encounter the Truth with Jonathan Griffiths. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as we continue to look at the story of Easter. And sometimes, Jonathan, we talk about what Jesus accomplished on the cross. But when we think of his death and burial and resurrection, what was Jesus actually accomplishing through all that?
Well, as is suggested in the title of this message, you know, Jesus was accomplishing the defeat of the greatest enemy of humanity, and that's the defeat of death itself. I mean, there's nothing worse in all this world than the reality of death. We know that as we experience loss and we say goodbye to loved ones and we feel the pain of that separation. We know in our heart that death is an awful thing. It's an invader in a good world and an invader in our experience in life. And at the cross, the Bible tells us, Jesus defeated death. He rose in victory over the grave in the resurrection. And he offers to share that victory with all who trust in him. And it's the most wonderful thing, because death is the most awful thing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to look at this truth from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Join us there as we begin our message, Death Defeated. Here is Jonathan.
This morning, we are thinking about and considering together the most fundamental issue any of us will ever face. The issue of death and the hope of eternal life. Preachers love statistics, and I'm always interested in researching facts and figures that will shed a little light on the things we're discussing. But I didn't need to do any research into the numbers for our theme this morning, because we all know them. We all know the statistic. Each one of us, every one of us, 100% of us here today will face death. It's an ugly reality, but we know it all too well. It was announced yesterday that the world's oldest living person had died. Emma Morano was born in Italy in 1899 and was almost certainly the last survivor of the 19th century. As the CBC observed, her life spanned 3 centuries, 2 world wars, and over 90 Italian governments. We all know that death will come to us sooner or later, even when it's amazingly delayed, as it was in the case of Emma Morano. It is coming nevertheless. And for many in our world, the reality of death and the prospect of death is as terrifying as it is heartbreaking. We can rationalize and sanitize death all we like. We can try and make death as painless medically as possible. We can even induce it to come at a convenient time. We can organize a nice funeral and choose an attractive burial plot. But we all know that death is ugly and death is cruel. Death means dreams that don't come true. Death means hopes that will never be fulfilled. Death means potential that is snuffed out. Death means loving relationships severed by the grave. Death is the great enemy of humanity. Death is my enemy, and death is your enemy. But the message of Easter, the life-giving and hope-restoring message of Easter, is this: although death is an ugly enemy and a cruel enemy, praise God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death is a vanquished enemy. That's the message of Easter, and that's the message that we celebrate together here this morning. We're going to focus our attention this morning on just 2 verses from the passage that I read, verses 56 and 57. And in these 2 verses, the Apostle Paul invites us to confront this great enemy of death, to understand its power. And then, having confronted the enemy, he calls us to see the great victory that Jesus has achieved, and he calls us even to participate in it. First then, confronting the enemy. Notice with me how the apostle explains the nature and the power of this enemy. He writes, verse 56, "The sting of death is sin, And the power of sin is the law. You may have noticed that it's been a pretty awful week for United Airlines this week. The big story in the headlines was about a man who was forcibly dragged off a United flight to make room for staff to have a seat. The lesser story was of a man on a United flight from Texas to Calgary who was stung by a scorpion that fell on him from the overhead bin. That was actually the story that caught my attention more. I think it filled me with terror. I can hardly imagine anything worse, confronting a scorpion in a confined space like that. We all know that death is painful, but Paul tells us that it has a particular sting, a violent, piercing sting that brings real pain and causes deadly harm. He tells us that the biting sting of death is sin. Sin stands at the very heart of the problem of death. It's the reason why death exists. It is the cause of all our pain and anguish. The word sin is a Bible word that speaks of wrongdoing. It speaks of moral compromise and ethical failure. It speaks of our lack of love and respect for the God who made us. It speaks of our rebellion against God, our Maker. The Bible tells us plainly that death is God's judgment, his punishment for human sin. The world as God first created it had no place for death. It simply wasn't there. We as human beings were made to live and not die. But when that first man and woman rebelled against God, their Maker, death entered the world as a punishment for sin. And it has been with us ever since. And so sin is at the very heart of the problem of death. That's the big insight that the Apostle Paul gives us here in verse 56. But he adds another insight too. And I wonder if you noticed it as we read. He tells us not only that the sting of death is sin, but also that the power of sin is the law. That's a kind of intriguing statement. But what does it mean? What is Paul talking about here? Well, in talking about the law, Paul is talking about God's law, the standards and rules that God sets out in his word, the Bible. And he's telling us that the power of sin, of rebellion against God, and of attitudes and behaviors that are evil in God's sight, the power of sin is actually God's own law. That must be one of the most perplexing statements made anywhere in the Bible. It sounds absurd. How can that be? How can that possibly be true?
Well, we're going to pause right here, so you're going to have to hang on for just a moment. We'll come back and answer that question. You're listening to Encounter the Truth with Jonathan Griffiths and a message called Death Defeated. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking at some of the verses near the end of that chapter there. And again, we'll get back to this message, answer that question in just a moment. Well, Jonathan, you are passionate about teaching God's Word and doing so effectively, and you've got an upcoming conference called the Timothy Trust. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, that's right, Steve, and that's why we've taken the opportunity to partner with the Timothy Trust to run the Timothy Trust National Conference this year, which is a conference aimed to equip Bible teachers to faithfully handle and teach the Word of God. Our theme this year is the Living and Enduring Word. And we're so privileged to welcome a number of outstanding speakers to join me at this conference. We've got Josh Moody of God-Centered Life and the College Church in Wheaton, Illinois. We've got Dr. Herschel York, who's dean of the seminary at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And we've got David Short, who is pastor of St. John's Anglican Church in Vancouver, Canada. And together we're going to be contemplating what it means to preach and proclaim the living and enduring Word of God in an age such as this. And we'd love for listeners to join us, particularly those who are involved in Bible teaching ministry. The conference is going to take place in Ottawa, Canada, and will be on May 27th to 29th. To find out more, have a look on our website, encounterthetruth.org/equipping. That's encounterthetruth.org/equipping. And join us in Ottawa, May 27 to 29.
Well, again, if you want to find out more information about this upcoming conference, you can visit our website, encounterthetruth.org/equipping, or call us at 833-998-7884. That's 1-833-99-TRUTH. Well, we're in a message called Death Defeated from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have a Bible nearby and you don't have it open already, hope you'll grab that Bible and join us there as we focus in on verses 51 to 57. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. Back to the message. Here is Jonathan.
We have a creek running along the edge of our back garden, dividing our yard from the farmer's field behind. Most of the year, the creek is pretty well empty. It's really dry. But just now, with all the melting and all the rain we've had, it is very full indeed. So out of caution and concern, we've said to our young children, don't go anywhere near that stream. Don't even approach it, and certainly don't go on that bridge. It is simply too dangerous right now. Now, I'm not sure that the kids are normally all that interested in the stream or the bridge, but you can almost kind of see the mental process going on as we issue that instruction. I'm told I shouldn't go on that bridge. So I'm beginning to think that that bridge might be a whole lot more fun than I ever reckoned before. I wonder what I'm missing out on by not going on that bridge and exploring down there by the stream. Maybe I should just head on down that way and at least have a little look. Now, actually, the kids have been very good, and they stayed off the bridge. But we all know the dynamic I'm describing. You're told not to do something. Maybe it's something you'd never even thought of doing before. And suddenly, there is nothing in all the world that you'd rather do than go and consider that thing. Now, that's what Paul means here, the power of sin, the power of that inclination in my heart to rebel and to defy God and to do evil. The boost and the impetus for sin actually comes from God's own law itself, from God's good and holy law. Somehow, in the perversity of my own heart, I hear his good instructions, and I just feel all the more interested, all the more intrigued, all the more inclined to do what he's just told me not to do. And actually, that insight and that observation from the Apostle Paul, it tells me just how deeply ingrained the problem of sin is in my heart. It tells me how ingrained is my inclination to turn against the God who made me. We all face the problem of death because we've all turned against our Maker. And in the perversity of our own hearts, in the strangeness of our own hearts, God's good law, which is meant to restrain evil and make life good and livable in his world, it actually provokes a rebellious spirit and makes me go deeper into the problem of sin. That's the situation. That's the reality of life in this world. And if we're honest, we can see that reality reflected in our own hearts and in our own behavior. But Easter Sunday isn't primarily about humanity's problem. Easter Sunday is about celebrating God's great solution. It's about sharing in Jesus Christ's great victory. That's Paul's emphasis. That's where he lands, verse 57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, as a nation, we've been celebrating and remembering and giving thanks for the great victory of the Battle of Vimy Ridge, which took place 100 years ago. That battle was a great and a historic victory. It was the first occasion in the Great War when all four Canadian divisions fought side by side. New strategies and new techniques were employed in that battle, and a victory was achieved that was formerly thought impossible. It was an important moment in the conflict. It was a significant marker in Canada's coming of age as a nation. It is rightly remembered as a great battle. Well, there were no marching troops, and there was no clamor of war at Calvary 2,000 years ago. But Paul wants us to know that a great battle was fought there and a great victory was won. Notice that it is very clearly the language of victory that he uses here. Verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Verse 57, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Much as the German forces in the First World War must have seemed unconquerable at times, the enemy of death does seem to us the undefeatable enemy. Not one of us has the strength to overpower it. Endless attempts have been made and continue to be made to overcome death. Perhaps the most inventive and I think the most desperate has been the development of techniques to freeze the human body at the time of death in the hope of a resuscitation when a cure is available for the disease that brought death. The idea is that you pay some money to a facility to have your body frozen and then stored in liquid nitrogen for as long as it takes, hoping that one day a cure will be found and you can be brought to life again. I gather the procedure costs about $40,000 Canadian, but plenty of people have been willing to pay. But it's a dream. It's no solution. It is a freezer and not a victory. But 2,000 years ago, on that first Easter Sunday, Jesus did what no scientist, no medical whiz, no engineer or inventor could ever achieve. After being really and truly thoroughly dead for 3 days, he rose again from the grave. He conquered the unconquerable enemy. He secured the impossible victory. Here in the run-up to Easter, we've been considering the meaning of the cross of Christ. We've been considering why it was that Jesus died and what he achieved at Calvary. And if we've seen and learned one thing through those times of study, it is this. At the cross, Jesus died to pay the price of our sin. He died to bear the judgment we deserve. He died to remove our guilt. At the cross, Jesus drew the sting of death for us. And actually, it's for that very reason that his death and his resurrection secure a victory for each one of us over the grave, if we will but accept it. Jesus died in our place to pay the price of our sin and our rebellion. He paid the price even of death itself. And as God the Father raised Jesus to life again on the third day, he declared that the price is indeed paid, the sacrifice is acceptable, and there is no more judgment for those who are in Christ. That's true. And that's right. Easter is a day of victory, and it is a day of celebration. It is a day when we remember and we rejoice in the great victory of Jesus Christ over our greatest enemy of all. It's a day when we delight in the fact that that great enemy, that cruel enemy, is indeed a vanquished enemy. For the believer, I hope that this is a day of great comfort and great rejoicing for you. Many of us will grieve and remember loved ones that we have lost in recent months and recent years. But how wonderful today on Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the fact that if our loved ones belong to Jesus, they share in his victory too. And if our loved ones belong to Jesus, they too will rise even as he is risen. No doubt Easter weekend will be a very hard weekend for a number of people in this room. A hard weekend because you remember those who are no longer here. But I trust that today, as we remember the resurrection of Jesus, you will find great comfort and great hope, and you will be able, even in the midst of sadness, to rejoice in the victory of Jesus. Easter Sunday is a day of comfort for the believer. It's important to say that Easter Sunday is also a day of invitation and opportunity for the unbeliever and the onlooker. We know that Easter is a time when many folks come, perhaps considering the Christian faith, perhaps curious to see what goes on. It's also a time when people who perhaps have drifted away from Christian community decide to come back again and to think again. And if that's you, if you fall into those categories, we are just delighted that you're here with us today. But if that is your situation, let me ask you on this Easter morning, are you confident today that you share in the resurrection victory of Jesus Christ? Are you confident in the face of death? Or does death still hold terror for you? If it does, let me urge you to make this Easter the Easter where you share in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over the grave, and you do so simply by faith, simply by trust in Him. Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together as we finish. Our Father, we thank You for this marvelous victory that the Lord Jesus has achieved over death. We thank You that You have had mercy on us sinners, and You have rescued us from what we rightly deserve. And through the gift of Your Son, through His incarnation, life, death, and resurrection, You have given us the gift of life. We pray that in Your kindness, You would give each of us the grace to accept and delight in that gift personally. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And maybe as you've been listening to today's broadcast, you're thinking more about what it would mean to be in a relationship with Jesus. As we're in this Easter season, you're thinking about His death, His burial, His resurrection, conquering sin and conquering the grave, and what that might mean for you personally. Maybe you still have questions about that. You'd like to know more about how you can know Jesus and begin a relationship with Him. I hope you'll contact us here at Encounter the Truth. Our toll-free number is 1-833-99-TRUTH. That's 1-833-998-7884. Or again, you can come to our website, encounterthetruth.org. While you're at the website, I hope you'll take a little time there. Not only can you go back and listen to messages and broadcasts that you may have missed, you're also going to find links there to our newsletter. You can sign up for our weekly e-devotional. You'll link to our social media accounts and, of course, our YouTube channel. And if you're on YouTube, you can simply like and subscribe the channel, and that way you'll be updated anytime we post some new content on there. So again, on YouTube, you're just looking for Encounter the Truth, or you'll find the link through our website, encounterthetruth.org, and make sure that you like and subscribe that YouTube channel. Again, you're going to find the links for all of this and a lot more when you come to our website, encounterthetruth.org. Encounter the Truth depends on your generosity to keep Jonathan's teaching on this station. We truly are listener-supported. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book that Jonathan has picked out called The Case for Easter. It is written by Lee Strobel. And Jonathan, what are some of the reasons that Lee Strobel lays out here as to why we can really believe that Easter happened?
Well, in a very methodical way and a way that's easy to follow, Lee Strobel goes through a few different categories of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. He looks at the medical evidence. Was Jesus's death a sham and His resurrection a hoax, or did these things really happen from a medical perspective? He looks at the evidence of the missing body. Was the body of Jesus really missing from the tomb, and what would that mean if it was? Then the evidence of the appearances of Jesus after His resurrection. Was He really seen alive, and how do we know? You know, these are vitally important questions, because as Christian believers, we place our hope on the fact that Jesus really rose from the grave. Well, let's have a look at the evidence. Let's have a reasoned faith, a thoughtful faith. I'd commend this resource to you. I think it'll be a tremendous help.
It is called The Case for Easter. Again, it's our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift and support Encounter the Truth this month. You can find out more or give online at encounterthetruth.org or call 1-833-99-TRUTH. That's encounterthetruth.org or 1-833-998-7884. You can also write us at Encounter the Truth, 2176 Prince of Wales Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, 2KE0A1. Or in the U.S. at Encounter the Truth, 215 North Arlington Heights Road, number 102. Arlington Heights, Illinois, 60004. For Jonathan Griffiths, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time.